Keaton. The actors David Bradley and Daniel Mays come from different generations, but even before they signed up to appear in a new production of Harold Pinter's Moonlight, they had a lot in common. Each has played a high-profile role in popular culture. Bradley is the Hogwarts caretaker Filch in the Harry Potter films.
I'm always happy to stop and talk about, especially with kids, you know. And the kids will say, no, it's not him, it's a lookalike or something like that, you know.
And Daniel Mays achieved peak time prominence last year as Jim Keats, an internal investigator who finishes the career of DCI Gene Hunt in the TV drama Ashes to Ashes.
I do get a few people that stop me or go, can I leave the tube now? I think you're the devil.
These two actors also both belong to the select club of those who've worked with Mike Lee through the long months of improvisation that create a Lee film. Mays in Vera Drake and All or Nothing, Bradley in Another Year.
I learnt a bit about impro, which made it a bit easier when we came to doing this.
Yeah. I think you have a natural affiliation with other actors that have worked with him because his process is so unique.
In the new production of Moonlight, David Bradley plays Andy, a dying civil servant who craves a final visit from his two sons, one of them, Jake, played by Daniel Mays. Since the play was premiered in 1993, much more is known about its origins. Harold Pinter's widow, Antonia Fraser, in her memoir Must You Go, connects it to the death of the playwright's mother, while Pinter's biographer, Michael Billington, finds its roots in the dramatist's long estrangement from his only son. So did Daniel Mays draw on such material, or just stick to the script?
We did do a fair amount of research. In fact, all those books you just mentioned were there on the rehearsal table for us to read them if we wanted to, and in order to get to the point of the pain and all the emotion and the turmoil that the sons are in, I think that was a really good thing to sort of read up on. But on top of that, you just have to kind of, it's a weird thing with this play because it's the first time I've ever performed Pinter on stage. I did The Caretaker on radio, but it is a process of building up the character and building up all that turmoil and pain. And yet, the way in which the sons talk to one another is, you know, it's wordplay and games. You know, it's that classic thing with Pinter. It's like the characters are saying something in order to destroy someone or to cover up their true feelings.
And you mentioned the wordplay. Some of the wordplay in this is devastating. At one point, one of the characters says, I loved him like a father, when he's talking about his own father. And they imagine a memorial service, which is not the real one, but it has all these funny names. So you say all those layers going on all the time.
The only way they can attempt to even deal with it is not to talk about it and, in fact, play word games with one another. The mother is attempting to bring them back to the father's deathbed. But, of course, if they went back, then the whole can of worms with Bridget and the fact that she'd committed suicide, all of those issues haven't been addressed. So it's a story of a family in complete meltdown.
Listen, I've been thinking about the whole caboodle. I'll tell you what we need. We need capital.
I've got it.
You've got it?
I've got it.
Where did you find it?
Divine Right.
Christ.
Exactly.
You're joking?
No. My father weighed it all up carefully the day I was born.
Oh, your father? Was he the one who was sleeping with your mother?
He weighed it all up. He weighed up all the pros and cons, and then without further ado, he called a meeting. He called a meeting of the trustees of his estate, you see, to discuss all these pros and cons. My father was a very thorough man.
I mean, if it had been written a couple of years ago, you'd have thought this is his most personal play. But the fact that he was in the peak of health when he wrote it, although he was coping with the death of his mother and the estrangement from his son, he stated that it wasn't an autobiographical play, but he did admit that these issues obviously seeped in. And also he was performing in Hearst in No Man's Land, which dealt with death and how the dead are always with us, and see the ghost of Bridget in the play. But it was a return, I suppose, to his familiar battleground of the family rather than the mountain language in One for the Road, where he'd gone intensely political plays.
And I wondered about, because you worked with Pinter, and I was talking to someone who's in the first production of Moonlight yesterday, and they told a story of one of the actors saying, where has my character been just before they come on? And apparently Harold Pinter said, they've been in the wings. Which does sound very, very him, but did you have similar exchanges with him about what the plays meant?
Yes, well, he did tend to say, work it out for yourself.
But, darling, death will be your new horizon.
What?
Death is your new horizon.
That may be. That may be, but the big question is, will I cross it as I die or after I'm dead? Or perhaps I won't cross it at all. Perhaps I'll just stay stuck in the middle of the horizon. In which case, can I see over it? Can I see to the other side? Or is the horizon endless? And what's the weather like?
You've added a bit of business to this play, Daniel, which is pretty impressive, I can tell you. Oh. In the script, at one point, the line is tantamount to a backflip in the lotus position. There's no stage direction after it. But you actually did it on stage.
Well, I did a forward roll, but my back's a bit sore this morning, so I think I might pass. We did talk about, particularly with Jake, that there's two other characters that are in bed, and I think Fred, his brother, is much more demure than Jake. You know, he's kind of taken to his bed and is deeply depressed. One would think that he could even commit suicide himself, you know. I think you should think that maybe of both the brothers, but Jake is very much more someone who's dangerously, fiercely intelligent, and he's kind of spinning out of control. And I think the sort of physical elements that I've added to it, I think that helps it.
David, you spend most of the play in bed. Now, people who don't act always wonder about this, whether there is any risk of dropping off. And I asked Jonathan Pryce this, and he fell asleep during The Caretaker, apparently, during a long scene where he has to lie on the bed and then woke up. But is it ever a risk, or are you're so switched on it won't happen?
It only happened once in rehearsal where Debbie had to nudge me.
Deborah Finley had to wake you up during
rehearsal. Well, she just gave me a little nudge, and she could tear. But I joined the actual show. I think, you know, I'm just listening. I've got to listen to the play the whole time.
It's so concentrated, and I think as much as you can, you have to sort of stay in it.
Yes, and I think for Andy, I think he's aware of Bridget out there somewhere, and he's, whenever she's speaking, I'm aware that Andy's kind of, he's always listening out. And I mean, some people suggested that the whole play is in Andy's head. It's in his in memory, in his imagination, but I don't think that's necessarily true, but I just think these characters are, on some level, there are moments when Bridget says, I don't want to wake my mother and father, and everybody just shuffles ever so slightly, as though...
There's like a ripple through the family. We did do some amazing improvisations, actually, around that period of when she died. And he went missing, didn't he? And he just completely didn't accept the fact that she'd done it.
Yes, he just went away.
Yeah.
He didn't even come to the funeral because he just couldn't accept it.
Yeah. I've always wondered about that, particularly in Pinter or Beckett, but in Pinter in this case, that if it is ambiguous, but as an actor you have to have in your head what did happen.
Yeah.
You can't play mystery.
No, that's right.
So we've kind of built up all these sort of, you know, the history and the backstory of actually what happened. So that really fuels what we're doing on stage as well.
Yeah. It isn't necessarily what did happen, but you have to find your own, even though you find your own understanding of the play. Otherwise, you end up just doing enigmatic acting.
David Bradley and Daniel Mays. Moonlight by Harold Pinter is at the Donmar Theatre in London until May the 28th. Tomorrow, Judy Golding on being the daughter of the author of Lord of the Flies, and filmmaker Kevin MacDonald on what truth means in documentary. I'll be here.